Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
A young person posted a photo on Instagram, and one person was scrolling, and they saw that image, and they immediately unfollowed that young person. Another person was scrolling on Instagram, and they came across the image that the young person had posted, and they pushed the like button. They liked it. And a third person was scrolling through Instagram, and they saw the picture that the young person had posted, and they not only pushed the like button, they not only liked it, they also commented on it. But they kept scrolling, and they kind of forgot that they'd ever even seen it. And a fourth person was scrolling through Instagram and came across this picture that this young person had posted, and they not only liked it and commented on it, but they reached out to the young person. And the two connected with each other. And that person and the young person ended up doing some amazing things together. If you can hear my voice, hear this. And that was it. That's all he said. And that was all. All of these people had pressed up, anticipating what he would say, pushing so hard against each other because they were just hanging on his words that he had to get into a boat, Jesus did, and push out from the shore and turn around and sit down. And there's a breeze probably coming off of the lake that's carrying his voice, and it's also bouncing off the surface of the water so that the people could hear a little bit better. And he is all ready to share with these people who are anticipating his words, and he shares a story of an everyday thing that happens all the time, over and over again, and then says, if you have ears to hear, hear it. It's no wonder that the disciples then asked him, why do you speak to the people in parables? I mean, don't you want to say things as concisely and as deliberately and as clear and as directly as you possibly can so that they might get it? And the answer from Jesus is absolutely, unequivocally, undoubtedly, unashamedly, in fact, enough to want to die for it. Yes, I want them to get this, but let's ask the question about what do you mean by get this exactly? Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at these parables and these stories that are recorded in the book of Matthew. And when we started the series, we said we're calling this series Insight. And the idea is that it's wisdom that Jesus kind of shares with people in this story form, wisdom that's hidden in plain sight. It's the most open secret. We said it's sort of like the 31 in the Baskin-Robbins logo, or the A to Z arrow in the Amazon logo, except it's a word picture that Jesus is sharing, ordinary stories about everyday things that make you want to listen a little bit closer and ask a few more questions and wonder and discover and find what you've been looking for the whole time. It's almost like they're riddles. And some of you know me well enough to know that I'm kind of a riddle person anyway. I love those kinds of things. And so a few riddles this morning just to make sure you're with me. Because I don't know. This morning felt kind of, are you guys with me? So let's do some riddles. Here we go. First riddle is, Jimmy's mother had three children. The first she named April. The second she named May. What is the third child named? Jimmy, right, thank you, that's good. What word, this is number two, what word gets longer, is that right? What word gets shorter when you add, okay, hold on. What does this say? Okay, what word becomes shorter? That's it. I got it. Hey, we're on the same page. I riddled myself out of this one. What word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? Short. Yes, short. That's a good one. No, not really. David's father had three sons, Snap, Crackle, and David. Good. You learn from the other one. So these riddles, they make you kind of want to listen a little bit closer and pay attention and discover and wonder and get to the bottom of. But it's not really about solving a puzzle. You don't have to be clever to get the parables. The parables force you to listen closer, but listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11. Matthew records Jesus is saying, if you want to follow, it's in verse 25, Matthew 11, 25. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for that's what you were pleased to do. It's like the passage that Sloan and Abby and Colby were just sharing from 1 Corinthians, where it says, none of you were wise by human standards, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. It's not that you have to be really smart to figure these parables out. Instead, it's like they pose this question to you. Do you really want to hear what God has to say to you? The parables ask, do you really want to see what God wants to show you? They ask you to come and ponder and question and discover. Over the next several weeks, we're going to just focus in on just one of these parables for like 4 weeks. Not because it's so densely packed that you got to spend 4 weeks to try to unpack it. There are certainly times like that. If we were in John 1, the prologue, that's what we would need to do. But this is not what's going on with this parable. We're going to spend 4 weeks with this parable because it's so foundational. It's so fundamental. In fact, it's one of just two or three parables that finds its way into all three of the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke all record Jesus saying this same story. It's also, interestingly, one of two stories in Matthew, one of two parables that Jesus names. It's in Matthew 13, starting in verse 3, and Jesus calls it the parable of the sower. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew 13. We'll start in verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. And other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. It was about as ordinary a story, about as everyday a thing as you could imagine. In fact, it's not a stretch to think that from his seat in that boat and from their position on the shore, they could probably all see a farmer in the distance doing this exact thing. At least they could probably see a field where it had been done. This was so common and so ordinary, and he doesn't, at least at first, even give any qualification or explanation. He just describes a scene that they had all seen so many times before. The reason that this is one of only two parables that Jesus names is because it's also one of two parables that he explains in Matthew. It's this one, the parable of the sower, and it's the one we looked at last week, the parable of the weeds. Let me take just a second to talk about the parable of the weeds. Last week, Rubel shared some thoughts about the parable of the weeds. If you have not heard that parable, I really want to ask you to go back and find it and watch it. When we were laying out these parables in Matthew and trying to decide which ones do we talk about and which ones do we leave untalked about and what Sundays do we talk about them, and we got to the parable of the weeds, and there was no doubt in my mind who needed to talk about that one, because Rubel has spent more time than most grappling with the pain and the struggle of a world that was created by a good God. And he had some wonderful, hard things to say about that last week. And if you haven't heard it, go watch it. You need to hear it. That was the parable of the weeds last week. This week it's the parable of the sower. And this is how Jesus explains the parable of the sower, starting in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So we'll spend the next several weeks looking at those four kinds of soil. This week, the path. But then we'll talk about the rocky soil, the shallow with no roots. We'll talk about the thorns and gets choked out. We'll talk about the good soil. This morning, the path. So again, in 13:4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. And when he explains it, he says this in verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. As we've approached these parables, we've tried to associate them with a question that's pressing in our world right now, that it feels like this parable has something to do with. So, for instance, last week, the question was, how did this world get in such a mess? That and the parable of the weeds seem to go pretty well together. The question for the path soil this morning would be, what if someone wants nothing to do with Jesus? That's a pressing question of our day. In fact, it's a growing question of our day. The number of people for whom that applies is becoming greater with every day. And there's a good chance that not only do you know several people that would fall into that category, but some of those people you love deeply and you desperately want that to be different. But what if someone wants nothing to do with Jesus? Seems to me that's the question that stands alongside what Jesus says about soil that is the path, where it doesn't penetrate at all. So what is the explanation? Why does someone get to a point where they want to have nothing to do with Jesus? Jesus uses the word understanding. I don't know if you noticed that, but when he's describing it, he says, what happens with this pathway soil, what happens with a heart that wants to have nothing to do with Jesus, is that there's a lack of understanding. Anyone who hears the message about the kingdom of God, but they don't understand it. Now, we've already said that this can't be that they don't mentally understand it. This is not a problem to be solved. This isn't a puzzle, a riddle to be solved in the sense of you got to be really smart or clever to figure this out. That's not what's going on here. But Jesus uses that word understand several times, not only in his explanation of the parable, but in what he says to the disciples when he answers the question of why does he even speak in parables to begin with. Listen to what he says there, and starting in verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear, or, and here's the word, they don't understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but you'll never be understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. It's the dissonance of that last phrase that makes me want to lean in and listen. Because there are these people that want nothing to do with Jesus. But the wounds inflicted by a broken and jagged world are deep. We learned, we were reminded last week, as if we needed a reminder, that there is a lot of hurt in this world. And the only one that can heal like this is Jesus. And they want nothing to do with Jesus. And he says, if they would turn, I would heal them. And this is the dissonance that hangs with the pathway soil. And Jesus says the key to all of this is understanding, but it can't be understanding of the mind. Look what he says. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Or go back to what he says right before that. You'll be ever hearing, he's quoting Isaiah, you'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving, for this people's heart has become calloused. When it comes to the pathway soil, when it comes to those who want nothing to do with Jesus, it turns out that it's not a problem with the mind or the head. It's not that they're hard-headed, although that can contribute. It's that they're hard-hearted. So that the word, the message that Jesus comes to proclaim will not make its way into their heart. So what is it that makes a heart calloused? Because we're not born with a calloused heart, right? If you hang out with Benny and MJ, you're not going to find a calloused heart. It's this openness, this wide open, wide-eyed wonder that questions and discovers and is open to, and some would say is even gullible, and maybe that's part of the issue, because at some point, what was this wide open heart has a tendency to become calloused in a really difficult world. And suddenly the only one that could heal is the very one that you want nothing to do with. In the time that we have left, I want to offer three things that I think contribute to a calloused heart. I know there are others. In fact, someone came up to me after the first service and gave me their own list, which is awesome. Let me give you the three that I thought about this week. And they happen to all start with A, so maybe that helps us remember them. The first one that I think makes us calloused is apathy. I read this article this week that was about the growing belief in nihilism. Essentially, it's a belief that says nothing matters. Not your life, not the things that you do, not the things that you say, not the things that happen around you. None of it matters. It's just sort of this sort of random accidental coincidence that all of this happens. And the best thing that you can do is sort of just make the best of it that you can and survive it as long as you can, because none of it really matters. And the posture for that, I would say, is crossed arms, shoulders shrugged, I don't care. And it's not that people don't want to care, right? It's protective. Because so many have heard so many empty promises. Whether it's a car commercial or a hair care commercial or a politician saying, vote for me, or a religious leader saying, give as much as you can, or there have been all kinds of empty promises that have said, if you'll just do this or say this or give to that or put yourself in line with this group of people, that somehow finally your life is going to matter and mean something. And you've given yourself over to empty promises and found that they had no substance to them. And eventually you say, you know what? I'm not going to care anymore because caring hurts too much. So you become apathetic. I was talking with a friend this last week, and he said he's got this middle school daughter, and he says she's really good at something, but she's afraid to be really good at it because she's so afraid she won't make the team. So she keeps acting like she doesn't care so she won't get hurt. Apathy will make a calloused heart. That's maybe one. The second, I would say, is angst. But you could use anger or ache. It's not entirely different than the first, only instead of it being apathy where you say, I don't care, it's you're guarded because you've been hurt. And you say, I'm not going to let you get close enough. Yeah, you can say that there's healing in this or you've got this message, but let me tell you, I've heard plenty of messages. I've had plenty of people tell me this or that, and they don't follow through, and I'm not going to let you get close enough to hurt me again. And so there's this stiff arm posture that says, the angst that I feel over the world as broken as it is keeps me calloused so that I won't get hurt. So there's apathy and there's angst. And there's a third one that's sort of unlike the other two. It's arrogance. They would never say it, but they've become convinced that they're the smartest person in the room, that they've got it figured out. There's nothing you can tell me that I don't already know. There's nothing that you could try to offer to me that I haven't already thought through. I know how this is supposed to be, and if what you are saying or doing doesn't fall in line with what I believe is supposed to be, then I don't have any time for you. Arrogance can absolutely create a calloused heart. So what do we do about a calloused heart? What do we do about those who want nothing to do with Jesus? It strikes me, one, that the sower, as Jesus describes him, and I know in these stories you can press some of the details too far, but I don't think this is a stretch. The sower is indiscriminate in the way that he shares the seed. He's not putting it just in the places where it looks like there might be a great harvest. It finds its way not only to the thorny soil and the rocky soil, but the pathway soil. Let me let you know that Jesus is never going to give up on the hard-hearted. And if Jesus is never going to give up on the hard-hearted, then we better never give up on the hard-hearted. And here's why I think that's so important, personally. Because I was the hard-hearted. Some of you have heard me tell this part of my story, and some haven't. It's no surprise, it's not a secret, but I grew up in church. From the time when I can remember anything, I can remember church. I was the young kid that found multiple ways, actually, to climb on the roof of the church building because I was around it all the time. My dad drove the Joy Bus. Anybody remember Joy Buses? You know, you'd take buses out into different neighborhoods and you pick up all these kids and you bring them back to your church. And I can't really remember which one my dad drove. Was it the Wile E. Coyote Bus or the Roadrunner Bus? But it was one of the two. They had the pictures on the doorway so you could figure out which door to get in, which bus to get in, so it'd take you to the right neighborhood. My dad drove one of them. My mom would lead the singing and I'd sit on the front row. I heard stories about Jesus my whole life. And when they were just talking about Vacation Bible School. When Vacation Bible School came around, mine was the first hand that could answer every one of the VBS answers, because I'd heard the story since the time I was little. I knew all about Jesus, but I need to tell you, my hard heart had nothing to do with Jesus. And it was that way until I was, I'd say, mid-college. But there were all of these people who were relentless in planting seeds on the surface of my calloused heart. And they would not stop. And there came this moment in my life when my heart broke open. It was a combination of a lot of different things. And suddenly, all of these seeds that had been planted on the surface of my heart started to spill in. And it changed my life. And I've never been the same. God never gives up on a hard heart. And we should never give up on a hard heart. It's really easy to have this conversation about hard-heartedness and hard soil, pathway soil, and calloused hearts, and use the words they. Here's another thing I've learned over time. You can spend a lifetime going to church, showing up on Sundays, being at every VBS, doing a lot of religious things and saying a lot of religious things and want nothing to do with Jesus. There are a lot of church people that want nothing to do with Jesus. It strikes me that when Jesus is sharing this parable, he's talking about pathway soil and calloused hearts. He's not talking about atheists. He's not talking about agnostics. He's not talking about people who used to be a part of church and are no longer part of the church. All of those people can fall into that category. But who, if you're following along in the story of Matthew, who is it that is clearly being shown as those that are the most calloused hearted and the most unwilling to hear the message of the kingdom? It is the religious people. It's the people in church. You can have all of the religious conversation and want nothing to do with Jesus. So the question before you and I this week is, do you really want to hear what Jesus has to say to you? Do you really want to see what he wants to show you? Or is your heart calloused? We're going to sing a song that is sort of this open my heart kind of song. Let's stand, let me pray over you, and then we'll sing together. Lord, our heart prays in a couple different ways. We pray over those who are outside of, away from, distance from not only church, but you. And in many ways, God, those faces come to mind and we are instantly filled with this hurt because we want them to know the healing that only comes from Jesus. And then our hearts are also paying attention to the condition of our own hearts and the condition of the hearts of those that we sit alongside in church every Sunday. God, we do not want to be among those who have calloused hearts, religious talk, but calloused hearts. We don't want to be among those who want nothing to do with Jesus, although we say his name all the time. So God, would you soften our hearts? We don't want to be pathway soil. Open our hearts by the power of and the name of Jesus. And we all say together, amen. Let's sing.
I want to see you. shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my mind. I want to see you. I want to see you. Come on and open. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Message, open the eyes of my heart that needs to carry with us this week. There is going to be a moment, there is zero doubt, there is going to be a moment when either apathy or angst or arrogance will start to rise up in you in some situation. It is guaranteed. And in that moment, what you and I need to commit to doing is asking, am I going to let this callous my heart to the message of Jesus? Let's be a people who are open-hearted to what he wants to say. Go in peace.